Well, so this morning, if maybe you don't know who we are, because it's been a couple weeks.
Who are you?
Yeah, I'm Pastor Cliff. This is Pastor Jen, and we're thrilled to be here. And if you started coming in the last 2 weeks, you don't know who we are because we haven't been here. And the reason for that was because we were not supposed to be here. We were supposed to be visiting our brothers and sisters in southern India. That was a trip that the Lord had put on my heart for some time and was planning it for about a year. And Jenny and I were all committed to go and had plane tickets and all that stuff. And they were excited to come see it, for us to come. And then my visa got rejected, and so twice, and I couldn't get into the country. And so we just took that as a sign that, because Jenny could go. Jenny was approved. She's not a threat, apparently.
I told you it was a mugshot.
Yeah. No, Jenny's. I mean, I've always called Jenny a diplomat anyway, so it's no wonder. But anyway, so then we just took it as a sign that it was not time to go. But we had folks set up to lead for us, you know, both in the praise time and Alicia 2 weeks ago, and Rick bringing the message last week, which we really appreciate. I thought they did a fantastic job. And that's good. Those are good things, you know, to hear from, because you get tired of hearing me talk anyway, so that's good.
Never.
Yeah, they do. See, nobody disagreed with that.
They can't hear me yet.
So the plan was, you ever have a plan and it didn't work out? No, never. The plan was for us to be, you know, we would have come back this past Wednesday and been here this morning to share with you all the cool and amazing things that the Lord is doing in southern India with our sister church, Goyi Missions, with Brother Valu and then his nephew now, Vijay, who is stepping into the leadership role there, much like Jenny and I have inherited it from Rick and Nancy here. That was the goal today, but I really don't see any reason to not do that, even though we didn't go, okay? So we want to talk this morning about missions, and you can see our message title, The Importance of Global and Local Missions, because really the church is presented with a unique opportunity here, and we want to talk about it. You know, this is the defining, really, purpose for the church. You know, and our main point that we want you to come away with today is simply this, that you can define your life purpose or you can let life circumstances define it for you. You can live with intentionality, you can live with purpose, and you can direct your time and your effort and your resources to accomplish the mission that the Lord has given to you. Or you can ignore those things and be oblivious to them and be caught up by the trappings and the circumstances of life, and then life will dictate what your mission is, because you're always then a slave to the things that demand your attention. And so we just wanted to talk a little bit today about, primarily about Goyi Missions in southern India, why we support them, why that is so important, why we've committed to them for nearly 40 years now, and we'll continue to do so. And then also with the new opportunity that we have quite locally, that's something new, you know. And so why we want to commit to missions. You know, we set our church mission this morning. Why don't we say our mission again, though? Our mission is to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. A mission is important because a mission is what you do. It's what you do. And so, you know, you all have a life mission, whether you know it or not, whether you are actively pursuing it and being intentional about the things you do day by day and also your long-term goals that move you towards that mission, or if you are ignorant of those things, then your life mission has become what somebody else dictates to you. But you are all contributing to something somewhere. The question is, is it what you want it to be, what you believe the Lord has given to you, or are you letting others dictate it for you? You're all influencing people, whether you know it or not. The question is, are you influencing them to the Lord, or are you influencing them away from Him? The church mission comes from what Jesus told us to do. Let's read Matthew 28. These are the last words, almost the last words, he says to us before He ascended back in heaven. This is after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. He meets with the disciples, and this is what he says. Let's read Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, nice and loud together. And Jesus came up to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, look, guys, it's 11 disciples at that point. He says, I have spent the last few years training you and preparing you for this work to carry on the work that I started. I've done all the hard work. Jesus says, I have all the authority because by his blood on the cross, he defeated sin. By his resurrection from the grave, he defeated death and hell and the devil himself. That's why he says, all authority has been given to me now. Now I'm giving that authority to you who follow me to go and do the same, to continue on, to continue to spread this good news. That's what gospel means, good news about me, Jesus said, that people can be restored and have a relationship with God the Father, and they can have the abundant life in the here and now and the eternal life that is to come. That's the good news. That's your job, and that job has not changed for the church for 2,000 years. The church exists today because we make disciples. A disciple is someone who takes what they have learned and they assimilate it within themselves and they apply it to themselves and then they teach it and pass it on to other people. That's how the church grows and sustains. If those 11 disciples had said, man, Jesus is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't know if they had sliced bread at AD 30 or not, but he's the greatest thing since, you know, and we're just going to keep it to ourselves. What good is that? None, right? We have to tell other people. This is the best news ever, the song goes, right? And so that is priority mission number one. Prime directive. Preach the gospel. Share Jesus with a world that does not know him. That's our job, to introduce people to Jesus. You know, you ever go to a party, an office party or a picnic or something, and you run into somebody and you're like, hey, I think you should meet this friend I have because I think you two have a lot in common. I think you'll get along, right? That's our job, is to say, hey, let me introduce you to somebody I know. His name is Jesus. I think the two of you are going to really get along. I think he can do a lot of really wonderful things in your life. That's our job, introduce people to Jesus. Number one, if we make church or really even our lives about anything else, we've missed the point. So that's why the church exists, and that's why we are so intentional about investing in an organization that is halfway around the world that is doing that very thing, that is going into the darkest, most repressed areas that you can imagine on earth, militantly opposed to this person named Jesus and anybody who believes in him or professes him, and boldly proclaiming him, and they're doing it by how they love on people. How they love on the least of society, of culture, of the poorest of the poor, the most downtrodden there are. A question that gets asked, I would say regularly, is why do we invest so heavily globally, specifically halfway around the world in a country that most of us are never going to be, and why do that? The answer, quite simply, is because it's a step of faith. It requires faith to invest in and support and move out of our comfort zone to support something that is halfway around the world. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit here, and I have some pictures to share with you, but because of the very real opposition that our brothers and sisters in India are facing, we're not going to put them online or on our website or anything like that. So live stream, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to stare at Jenny's beautiful face and my ugly mug for the next 15 minutes or so. But we do that to protect Valu and Vijay, because once you put a picture and you can associate a name with it, that becomes very real, becomes problematic. And not only them, and the local, more importantly, the local pastors that they are supporting. But you have to understand that this is not an organization that we're just blindly throwing money at. You know, Rick and Nancy could tell you the stories, and you could talk with them afterwards. I'm sure they'd love to. Sure, you'd love to tell the stories, right? Yeah. about how God brought Valu from southern India, the very southern tip of India, all the way down to the very bottom. How he brought Valu to the United States, and how he caused to cross paths with Rick back in 1984, 86. Because I remember him coming. I was coming at that point. I remember mm-hmm. him coming.
Tapioca pudding. I remember that.
Tapioca pudding.
Yeah, at Vacation Bible School.
At Vacation Bible School. Mm-hmm. What, he brought it then?
I think he made it. I think
we
he
did
made
not
it
have tapioca
us.
Pudding in America at that point?
I just remember him making that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. India.
I think he made it, or he said he made it. I don't know. Maybe Nancy did. Nancy made it. Nancy made it. Baloo brought it.
He probably liked it a lot.
He liked it. Oh, he made it. Oh, that's cool.
Baloo made tapioca pudding. Well, see.
There's my memory, Vacation Bible School memory.
The way to a woman's heart is also through her stomach. There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Where was I?
Wait, sorry.
Wait till I get going. Where
yeah,
was
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah. You remember him coming in 1986.
86. So this is a relationship that is born, you know, of hearts that are knit together. You know, these are real people that we know and have, you know, have loved on and they have loved on us, and we have laughed together and cried together through a whole lot of stuff. Okay, that's a risk, though. That's a long-term relationship or long-distance relationship, right? And that's tough, especially back, you know, back in Rick's day when they didn't have technology. You know, like, you know, they're sending smoke signals to each other halfway around the world. You know.
He now has another message to give.
Yeah, yes. I'm waiting for that. I gotta say something about that.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a lot of faith involved with that, in trusting, hey, we're gonna come alongside and partner with Go Ye Missions, which was started by Valu and his brother Elan, right around the same time that Blue Mountain Community Church started, you know, back in the mid-80s. And has continued on through a number of phases, and we have supported them financially and supported them by visiting, and they have come here, and there's been a mutual support back and forth, and they pray for us faithfully, and we pray for them, and you know, and whatever the need has been, or whatever the method, I should say, that they saw would best reach the people, the Indian people, that's what they did, you know, and that method has changed over time, and we have supported them financially, and over the years that financial support has grown I forget what it used to be back in the day. I feel like it was like $200 a month back in the day, and now, you know, we support Valu and VJ, their families, at $600 a month, and then we also support through offering their work that they do there through local pastors at $2,300 a month. And we've been doing that for 12, 13 years now. And that work has changed over time. You'll see some pictures here in a minute about how that's changed and evolved. But that's a risk, and there's a trust factor that has to come into play in how are we going to support this, and how do we verify it, and all those things. So that's why we've gone, you know, and Rick's been over, and Nancy have been over more times than I can count, and I've been there twice, and Jenny was there once. But you know, why invest so heavily? Because it takes faith. It takes faith in a big God to work beyond what we can see, what we can tangibly have eyes on. And say, oh, here's what it is, you know. Now, in 2024, technology has advanced incredibly. I mean, VJ just sent me pictures even just this morning of stuff that's happening, you know. And we can video chat, and you can instantaneous. You can see what's happening halfway around the world, you know. So that's a good thing, and that helps alleviate a bit of that. Well, I wonder what's really happening over there, you know. But it still takes faith. It takes faith to give $2,300 a month in offerings every month to support mission work. It takes faith to get on a plane and fly 15 hours and then take another flight and then get in a car and drive for 2 hours in traffic, which in India, I mean, if you've ever driven to New York City, it's got nothing on driving in India, you know, like it's cray, all right? It is cray. That's what you just go, only in India, you know. I was looking at pictures, you know, from our last trip, you know, and I, a lot of times I was just taking pictures of, like, because you just, only in India, you know. Yeah. Only in India would you see, you know, a family of six on a motorcycle. Believe it or not, that was the phrase, right? Believe it or not. You know? One of my favorite images, I can still see this as clear as day, is seeing two guys on a motorcycle. Driving down, and traffic is like, it's just like, it's like watching birds migrate, or flocks of birds, like, it's not just one, it's like, hundreds of vehicles and motorcycles, and as you're going, and I see these two guys on a in this traffic, you know, and they don't drive slow either, you know. They're driving, and the guy in the back has two helmets on his hands. They're not wearing the helmets. He's carrying the helmets in traffic. He just only in India, you know.
Probably barefoot.
Probably barefoot. You know, it takes faith to do that. And go, why go? You know, why go and see it? And why make the investments? You know, because that's what faith is. Faith is stepping out into the unknown. Faith is stepping out beyond our comfort zones. Just like folks getting up here, you know, Tara getting baptized this morning, out of my comfort zone. Absolutely. For some of us, it's, you know, and God, that's what, I don't want to say I'm convinced that God does not live in our comfort zone, but I'm convinced that God does not live in our comfort zone. He'll meet us there, but he is always going to move you to that next, because in our comfort zone, right, I got this. Yep. Celebrate Recovery Family, right, I got this. Oh, there's no area in our lives in which I got this. We need him in every area of our lives. And when we step out in faith, we have to rely on him, because that's beyond human comprehension. That defies human logic even. But God's telling us to do it, and so we do it. And you know, we often say that, you know, great faith is not the result of a simple life or no challenges. Great faith is a result of great challenges. And certainly supporting India for that long has been a great challenge. But we've seen a lot of work. So anyway, you know, again, these are real people. And for those of you who have never had the opportunity to meet Valu, that's him there. He's the guy with the darker skin, just for clarity. and the cool mustache, right? And the really ugly up-close chin selfie of me there. But, you know, these are real people that, you know, you can see those smiles are genuine. You know, I mean, he calls me his son. You know, these are recent. That was our trip in 2019. This goes back to 2012. That's Vijay, his nephew, there on the right. Whoops, not that. Sorry, technology. Sorry. X'd out of it. There we go. What I meant to do is this. That's Vijay right there. That's when we saw him coming out of our trip in 2012. We landed in Dubai and had like 10-hour layover there, and he was working there at the time. But it was actually his last Sunday there, or his last day there. He was able to take his family and go back to India because of our support over the years to begin to step into the leadership role and begin to take on the ministry calling. So Vijay is Elan's son. Valu and Elan were brothers. Elan passed away. Vijay is Elan's son, so Valu is his uncle. But they all lived together and worked together. So that was us, and you can see those are real folks there that you know, right? You know, and there's been a real brotherhood that has formed here. You know, this is, you know, just as Rick and Valu have become brothers, you know, Vijay and I and Jenny have become brothers. You know, there's a genuineness here. That's really, really special. And again, these are things, you know, it's happening over time. You know, it's amazing to watch the family grow up. You know, I took both those pictures, one in 2012, one in 2019, you know, and of course that's 5 years ago now, and his son is even taller now. You know, so again, these are real people. You know, it's not a nameless organization. These are real folks, and we've been in their homes and all these things, you know. And so here's a little bit of what's happening. There's a picture that Vijay, I grabbed that off his Facebook page from a revival they did just a few weeks ago. You can see what's happening there. You know, so what do we support? How do we support them, and what specifically does that do? So in 2019, we had gone, and we were supporting, prior to that, we were supporting an orphanage. That's what the $2,300 a month was supporting. It was an orphanage because people would come and just drop their kids at Valu's doorstep because they knew, oh, he's a good Christian, he'll take care of my kids, and kids are unwanted and all that stuff. And so they started an orphanage, and they had about 15 to 20 kids in that orphanage at any given time. And our monthly support, $2,300 a month, would support that orphanage. That ran for about 7 or 8 years. And then when we went in 2019, we discovered that because the government had changed, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, that the orphanage had been forced to close because the government was saying no private orphanages can exist. They wanted everything state-run with the state religion, which is Hindu and Muslim. That's the big part. So that's they shut down any private organizations. Compassion International has been kicked out. All the other big ones have been kicked out of India. They don't want them in there. And so what they had done is they were forced to go underground with their ministry. And so they took that $2,300 a month and began supplying local pastors in the slums and farther outposts of the country, investing in kids. You know, and we have our kids in here today, and we wanted him to stay in this morning to see this, to know that, you know, just like we made a commitment that we were going to prioritize our kids on a Sunday morning and have excellent Sunday morning classrooms and vacation Bible school and all those things, and that's near and dear to my heart that, you know my story. I came to church because of an invitation to vacation Bible school, and as a result, my family and all that, okay? So investing in kids gets the attention of the parents, right? That's the method. And so that's what they've done is they've taken the poorest of the kids, the lowest class, and they invest in them educationally and nutritionally. They give them a meal and they supplement their learning, which is huge because these, you know, you can't imagine the poverty that's there. And so what they do is they'll meet in these kind of rooftop or these little buildings. You can see this one here. This is just a corrugated roof and top. You know, I got a tarp there. This is a little room, you know. And these are in little back alleyways and places, and they'll invest in these kids and help educate supplement their education and give them a meal, and then they give them the gospel. They tell them about Jesus. All right, let me introduce you to this Jesus. And that gets the attention of the parents, who say, why are you investing in my child when my entire culture thinks they're garbage? And they say, well, it's because Jesus loves you. And that's how the churches are growing. So that's what our monthly support is. And now they're sponsoring, I mean, there's probably at least a dozen direct churches, and there are hundreds of pastors who look to Valu and VJ for support, for protection, even from the government, and so they are doing that work all over. Now, these are ones he just sent me. Their Vacation Bible School program is running actually right now through the end of May, and so you can see, you know, I'm going to guess 10 by 6. That's where they're meeting, you know, and you got all these kids packed in there, and they're doing that. So, in addition to the $2,300 a month, we also, as a church management team, agreed to send them $19,000 from our mission fund to support their vacation Bible school programs, which is a week-long program, and they run them in different areas in different regions for about 6 to 8 weeks. It started in the beginning of April. It runs through May. We were hoping to see some of it while we were there. Their goal is to reach 1,600 kids with the gospel through the Vacation Bible School program. And so what they do is it's 6 days of lessons, and they feed them a meal, and they give them snacks and beverages and all that stuff and materials. And the cost worked out to be $11.85 per kid for the week. And so as a church management team, we made a decision to just support them. And we've done that the last couple of years without even really asking or bringing the need to the congregation, I should say. That comes from our missions, that the church itself is tithing. That's all part of our budget. I don't want to get sidetracked there. But we earmark money that comes in from the tithe specifically to fund mission work. And so that's where that came from. And that's what it's doing. Okay, that's what's... this is the tangible results there. You can see that all over the place and in different locations, this is what's happening. Okay. VJ actually messaged me, and I want to read this. Wow, time is really slipping by here. But okay, this is directly from VJ. He actually talked to me this morning. He said, "Dear Brother Cliff," he said, "Praise the Lord. First of all, we thank you for all your prayers and support for building the kingdom of God. Your prayers and support are vital to the ministry. We were able to bring many souls to Christ through our various activities. We couldn't have accomplished without your prayers and support. We thank the Lord for you and all the members of BMCC. As you know, in the last 19 years, we are having very tough times since the ruling party is anti-Christian in nature and hates Christians. Now the election is going on and will go on until June 3rd. The election actually started one of the days we would have been there. And VJ had expressed a slight concern about that, that we would be there during that time. And that runs for the next, you know, it's different, a little different than ours. But anyway, that'll be done in June. And they're hoping, well, They're hoping that there will be a regime change there. We are praying that this ruling party should not win this time. It is said that this government is manipulating the electronic voting machines to malfunction and cast all the votes to them. They had done this the last two times. Our country will be in bad shape if this party comes to power again, as Christians will be persecuted and murdered by militant Hindu people. So we request you to pray for a dramatic change in the leadership. He says, I think your visa has been rejected since the staff and the consulate are mostly from this party who hates Christians. But we are so thankful to the Lord that we were able to reach out to 4,278 children in the past few years. That's through our vacation Bible schools funded by BMCC. This really is an amazing thing. We will have 1,600 plus more children this time for the vacation Bible school. Since bringing children to church is tough because of the anti-Christian people are watching us, we hold the VBS every year in different locations to teach the children about the true Savior. These children are followed up by our outreach teams on a regular basis. We will select suitable and interested children aged 16 and over and give them training to them to lead these children that are reached at the vacation Bible school. This way, we will be able to reach many children on a regular basis. Now we are praying to buy a land and build a community hall where we can bring many children and adults. This will help us reach more people since this is not a church, but a community hall. So we request you to pray and support us purchase a land and build a community hall. We want to speed up the mission to reach more people as the political situations are changing all the times. Vacation Bible School will continue from May through May, the month of May. It's so hot here, so I'm glad we're not there. Here are a few of the pictures. And then he says, convey our heartfelt thanks to all the members of BMCC. Thanks again for the prayers, encouragement, and support. Valu, VJ, and the entire Go You Mission staff. So just to understand, so you understand what's happening there. And so, you know, we want to wrap up this part of global missions. You know, how can you specifically help support global missions? How can you have a mission and be mission-minded? First and foremost is pray. Mm-hmm. We pray pretty much every Sunday for them. Pray in your personal time. You heard the needs just now. Pray for our family in India. Pray for Go You Missions. Pray for these situations because it is by prayer that they are existing.
Yeah, that's right.
Secondly, consider going on a short-term mission trip. I'm not giving up. We're going to go, you know, I'm just going to keep applying. And every few months, I'm going to work on getting visas approved and go and to be an encouragement and to step out in faith. And if you would consider that, then, you know, start putting the funds aside and work on, a passport and other things, and we'll keep you posted. But it is my belief, because it's my experience, that going on a global mission trip changes and makes you more effective locally because you understand, first of all, really what we have here, and you understand the fight and the work that's being done halfway around the world. And then the other part is simply to commit to being a monthly supporter. You know, $2,300 a month, that's $25 a month for 92 families. We average 400 people here on a Sunday morning. That's about 100, 150 families, you know. So if 100 families would commit to $25 a month, look at what you could be impacting halfway around the world, you know, being mission-minded. And, you know, those are ripples on a pond that you won't know until eternity the impact you've had because of being able to give in a way to support what they don't have. You know, you don't have to go, but you can say, here, you know, I'll skip a meal at McDonald's this month and give it to the kids over there and feed them for a week.
Thank you to those of you who have already been giving to the mission project. I mean, we've been, like Cliff said, we've been doing this for 12 years now,
yep.
Supporting them $2,300 a month, and God's always brought it in somehow. So yep. Thank you all yep. day, for all.
If you want to give to the Vacation Bible School, and they do it again at Christmas time also, so it's twice a year we give that amount. 380 people gave $50; it would cover that. So if you want to give a Christmas gift this year, you can give it to Go You Missions. You know, $50 is nothing really compared to, you know, what the luxury that we have here. So that's that. In the lobby, back by the coffee pot, there is a permanent table set up there. The screen's running. There's some more pictures back there now. You can see them. You can see pictures and stuff like that and how to support all that stuff. So I encourage you to stop by, check that out after service today. Okay. So that's global missions, but we want to talk about local missions, right?
Okay, sure.
All right, so we got time for this.
So let's say this together. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then Matthew 25:45. "To the extent that you did not do it, showed kindness, compassion, help to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." So some of you may or may not have heard that our church was gifted a building in Weisport. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I just want to share real briefly that Anita Whistler, who's actually recovering right now from a knee surgery, so keep her in your prayers. Anita Whistler, who lives in Weisport, has lived there for a long time, has always had a heart for Weisport, and she was serving at this local building. It was a church, and they turned it into a mission, and it existed for many years, and she started a clothing closet there, which you may have heard us talk about, the Shepherd's Closet, and our church was supporting the Shepherd's Closet, $200 a month or so, for several years to support her. And I can still remember going to Anita's house before she started the Shepherd Closet to pray with her for this building that was within eyesight of her home. And she wanted to get involved in it. So she started a ladies' Tuesday morning Bible study. And they had other things going on there, like doing meals once a month that for those in need, opening up this Shepherd's Closet, this clothing area for people, giving them some food pantry items, things like that. So the building was used quite a bit before COVID, and then COVID. And then everything kind of like slowed down and shut down. And in 2022, in December, Anita came to me and she said, "We're trying to get this mission going again." And she said, "We really want to get people aware of what's happening in Weisport, that this is not just for people that live in Weisport, that there are people coming from all over the county and even a little bit into the Lehigh County for support, for clothing, for food, for the meals and things like that." They went from serving, I think, 20 meals to serving like 140 meals or something like once a month. So anyway, she said, "Is there any way we could like get some, you know, extra support here?" So that's when our church, we had been supporting them already, I believe. But I said, "Well, the only thing I know to do is like have a concert. Let's have some music there." So I ended up going to a meeting with other people. You know, Anita wasn't real involved in that, but she was doing other things. And we were sitting around this table, and there were people that had bands in their churches, and we ended up doing this music at the mission to open up an opportunity for people to come and see the building and things like that. And so that was 2022. So early 2023, we had our first music at the mission. It went really great. So a couple of months later, we had another music at the mission. And when we were meeting for that music at the mission, Terry, the gentleman who I had spoken with, who owned the building, him and several other people, I had spoken with him back in December 2022. It was my first time going there. I spoke with Terry, and I looked at the guy, and I thought, this guy's 70 years old. And he said, "I'm 85 years old." He just had the joy of the Lord, and you could see the Lord shining through him. Like Nancy was talking about the other night, how when you serve the Lord, your face looks younger. Okay? So if you want to love, if you love Jesus, your face is going to shine. So anyway, he shared his heart with me in December of 2022. This was before we did the music at the mission. But I thought this was really important. We were sitting there, and he was telling me all the things that he was dreaming of for this building. And one of them was to get youth involved, that youth would want to come and be involved, and that kids would get involved, and younger people would get involved in this building. And, you know, the Holy Spirit told me I have to say this because it needs to encourage you. You need to know. Sometimes we tell you that you should do something, but we don't give you an example, and I like examples. So I'm sitting in this meeting. I had just come from the bank, and I cashed a check. And God said to me, "I want you to give them all the money in your wallet." And I'm like, "What?" Right? It's before Christmas. What? Right? and then I'm like, "Lord, I know you're telling me to give this to him." And it wasn't like a ton, but it was an offering, and it was a little bit of a sacrifice. I was like, "Okay, Lord, you know, we're gonna plant a seed here." So anyway, we did the music at the mission. We were meeting for the second music at the mission, and Terry said to me, "Pastor Jen, can I talk with you after the meeting today?" And I was like, "Okay, what's coming here?" And he said, "We want to see this mission continue, and I cannot physically continue this." And he said, "We want to give this building to your church. We want you guys to be able to carry on this mission." And my first thought was, wow, cool. My second thought was, how are we going to do that? Right? But it's not our job to ask God how when he tells us to do something. We just do what he's telling us to do, to take the next step. And that's why I'm telling you that. You go to the meeting. When he tells you to give, you give. When he tells you no, you walk away. When he tells you yes, you step further in. Just keep trusting God. So anyway, I immediately started, like, my brain was exploding with ideas and thoughts and, you know, moving walls and changing the floor and how we could bring people in and setting tables up and how we could have small group meetings there and special events and cook in their kitchen and, you know, like, all these things were going on in my mind, and I was like, how are we going to do this, Lord? So came back, we spoke with our church management team and explained this, like, and we basically said, we have no idea what we're doing, but we believe that this is God, that this is, he's giving this to us for some reason, right? So anyway, we accepted that offer. It was hard to accept an offer when somebody gives you something, right? But it's an old building. So it's not just, hey, here's a building that's in great shape. I mean, it's in good shape, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done to it because it's an old building. So you can see it was an old church. It's in, you know. So this is what it, now this is actually straightened up, but this was kind of what it was looking like as we were cleaning up and straightening up. You can see this is the closet that the sanctuary was like, up, there's a big wall around the sanctuary, in the sanctuary for the closet. Go ahead and we can move on. And then that is what it looked like. And then Lloyd went to town and took the wall down. Yes, so that's the wall down on the right. You can see that is what it looks like now. So we're going to be changing the floor. We're going to get tables in there for small groups. The stage area, he's starting to take some of that out because there were a lot of levels. We're leveling that out a little bit so we can have opportunity to do music there. And then the shepherd's closet is going to be on the other side. So that's all packed in there now. And the ladies, the group of people that serve there are spectacular. There's a group of about 25 to 30 people that volunteer and do different aspects of the ministry. And they're just awesome. And they all came right on board with this and just said, we can't wait to see what God does. I mean, it just is a miracle. It's amazing. So there are people serving from other churches in this building too, and their churches donate food for the pantry. And they want to continue to serve and support, and that's just a huge blessing. So there's the kitchen, what it looks like right now. We don't know everything that we're going to be doing. This is the pantry area. You can see the pantry is kind of bare. We want to fill that up, all right? So, but we're not quite ready yet to be bringing food in. We're going to keep you posted because we're still working on renovation and there's going to be dust and things going on at this point. But we have some food here in our pantry that we may end up taking over there as they have the shepherd's closet open and allow people to take food. So we will keep you guys posted. But there's three purposes I believe the Lord gave us for this mission. The first is the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? What is our mission? What is our vision? And we want to share Jesus with everybody who enters. And we want to make it inviting that they want to come in. Beautiful and inviting. And then the second is, this is an opportunity for Blue Mountain Community Church Ministries to offer small group activities and meetings. And I know that all your small group activities and your meetings, you invite anybody to come and join you, right? We're a church that's open invitation, right? So if you have an idea of something, if you want to meet, we'll explain this to our leaders more, but there will be opportunity for you to have meetings and small group activities, and we'll plan out the calendar just like we plan out this church calendar. But we were feeling like this was a need. We needed more spaces for people to be able to meet because it's tough to have things here, especially on the weekends or if there's a special event and, you know, bigger events. So this will house some smaller events. And then the third is the opportunity to conduct a simple flow of resources to those in need. A pantry, clothing. And this kind of the slogan I felt the Lord gave me was, meet me at the mission. So you need food? Meet me at the mission. You need a gas card? Meet me at the mission. You need clothes? You know, hey guys, we're going to have couples ministry. Couples ministry is going to meet there. This is our goal, to have this ready by June 29th, which happens to be my birthday. So that's a good date. So, and yours too, and a couple other people. It's June 29th, birthdays. So they're going to meet the couples ministry there, June 29th. And the next goal you could pencil in is Sunday, July 28th. We are hoping to have an open house there, where we'd have like some music, maybe some light refreshments, and you could come in and you could see the building if you haven't ever been there before. But I'm just excited about what God is going to do there. All right. So one of the desires of Pastor Rick's heart, this is where I wasn't sure how I want to share this, but one of the desires of Pastor Rick's heart when he started our church, he said, Lord, I just want a church where people really love each other, right? I just want a church where people really love each other. Do you feel that way here? People really love you, right? If you're not feeling loved, come up here afterwards. Cliff and I will both hug you, okay? We want you to know that you're loved. Group hug. But we have... We never talk about these things beforehand. Anyway.
Clearly.
Yeah. But we have worked hard at this heart's desire of Rick's. I mean, I could go on about what we did over the years to become a friendly church. But we have, you know, encouraged each other. Go outside of your comfort zone. Outside of your comfort zone to say hello to somebody. To say, what's your name? I'm Jen. You know, I'm sorry. Please help me remember your name. And so, how are you? Where are you from? How did you find the church? Do you need prayer for anything? Let me pray for you right now. You know, going outside, and that's not just my job or Cliff's job or Rick's job or Nancy's job. That is all of our jobs, to go outside of our comfort zones. We accomplish our mission by sticking close to our vision. And I felt like God was showing me that one of the reasons he is blessing us so much is because we are a church for the broken. This is a church for the broken. And it reminded me, There is an account in Genesis chapter 30 of Jacob and Laban. And you'll have to go read it. But Jacob worked for Laban to get a wife. And then Laban gave him a different wife than he worked for. Then he had to work more to get the wife he was after, the wife he wanted. And when Jacob finally said, hey, I've built up your flocks. You have everything you need. I want to move. Laban's like, no, I'll pay you. I'll give you anything you want. And Jacob said, okay, well, just give me all the spotted and speckled flock. Give me the spotted and speckled ones, the ones that aren't as pretty maybe as the other ones. So Laban actually took them and hid them somewhere else, right? But Jacob figured this out. And he was able to breed the spotted and speckled flock. And his flock was stronger than the pretty flock. And I feel like... We take you as is. Jesus takes you as is. You don't have to change. You can wear your pajamas to church if you want to. Because we want you to know that you are loved, not you. I mean, whatever, honey. Whatever you want to do. But if you feel speckled and spotted, there's a place for you. And Jess and Wes came here, and I'm going to say they felt speckled and spotted. And they went through our whole Celebrate Recovery program. They came out shining. And now they lead our Celebrate Recovery program. So we have Celebrate Recovery. Yeah. We have Celebrate Recovery, Elevate. We've got awesome teachers that help our kids who feel speckled and spotted to help them come to the Lord and get cleaned up by him. We've got great children's ministry directors that are raising our kids to come to know, love, and serve Jesus and to teach them God loves you right where you are, just as you are. He made you that way, and he loves you. We have a great benevolence team that we help mostly people from outside the church. Because other organizations say, call Blue Mountain Community Church. They help people like you. So we get the phone call and we help. We do the best that we can to help those who feel speckled and spotted. And God is building and expanding our borders. So the last thing I want to explain and share is this church from the very beginning, Pastor Rick cast a vision. I want a church where people really love each other. And I bet you wrote that in your journal, didn't you, Rick? You probably wrote that in your journal at least once, if not more, right? And we highly recommend journaling. Okay, I want another quarter. We get a quarter every time we say the word journal. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. You wish you had a quarter every time we said that. But journaling is not just a diary, But it's keeping a record of what God is doing in your life. And it is so powerful, I cannot even explain it to you. I have been journaling very faithfully since 2007. When I started journaling, my life changed. It was like my ministry changed. 4 months later, I was a pastor. I was like, wait a minute. And I'm like, wow, God, things started changing. So I journal anytime something, you know, every day, just about every day. Write the date. Rick taught us, write your weight. You know, write what God's saying to you. Write the scripture, write the proverb of the day, whatever it is. Write down what God, and then later you go back and you go, wow. You know, and I've had a lot of wow moments when I've gone back in my journal, because without vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision for your marriage of growing old together and sitting on the front porch on the rocking chairs, your marriage will perish. If you don't have a vision for your job of not being stuck in the dead-end job, you will perish. You will hate your job for the rest of your life. And do we really want to do that? No. Cast a vision. Cast the big goal, the big vision for what you see your life looking like 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. That's what Pastor Rick and Nancy did. That's what we did as a team, as we came alongside them many years ago to say, what's our vision? What's our mission? Why do we do what we do? So we journal, we cast the vision, write the vision, inscribe it on tablets. So the other night, I felt God just say, hey, pull out one of your old journals. Okay. So I pulled out this journal. It's not that old, but it's from October 2022. Remember when I told you I met Terry about the building? December of 2022. So I opened my journal, and I'm just like, okay, I don't know. What do you want me to see, Lord? Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. Last night, I had a dream about the church in Weisport. I was having a conversation with the pastor about holding a Wednesday night service. I don't know what that means, Lord. If that church would go up for sale or close, is it something you want us to use or buy? Jesus, show me. And I went, what? And Cliff's like, what? I was reading in bed. I said, I did not remember that dream. But the Lord knows what he's doing. Write the dreams, inscribe them on tablets, because you never know what God's going to do. And I fully believe this is not the first opportunity he's going to bring to us, because you guys have been faithful with little, and he will give us much.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. So, you know, how can you support local missions? You know, the thing about local missions I had up there before is, you know, it moves you out of your comfort zone. Jenny will often say that people will say, oh, Lord, I'll go anywhere for you. I'll fly halfway around the world, you know, if you tell me to. But, you know, talk to the person at the end of my row, Talk to the person in line at the supermarket, right? Local missions moves you out of your comfort zone because it's up close. It's personal, right? So how can you support local missions, specifically the mission in Weisport, is to pray. You know, pray in your personal prayer time, pray in your small groups, pray for this new ministry opportunity for the people it will reach, right? There's no question that White Street in Weisport is the heart of those in need, you know? You can consider donating pantry items for the next open house. We will let you know about that. Please do not inundate us with things right now when we're not prepared for that. We wanted to let you know what we're doing, and we have a lot of logistics to work through, but those are easy ways that you can contribute. And then consider joining a ministry of BMCC that already or that does directly address those in need in our community. Consider joining Benevolence. If you have a heart for giving to those in need, consider Impact Ministry, considering Caring Friends, all those ministries, Celebrate Recovery, all those ministries that are intentional about reaching out to those who are hurting, because that's what Jesus did. Every time Jesus encountered someone, he met them in their hurt, in their need, and he ministered to it, and as a result, they put their faith in him, right? So, you know, as we end our time here, you know, will you live a life committed to fulfilling the Great Commission? Are you willing to live by faith and willing to let God move you out of your comfort zone? If you want the blessings of God, that's what it takes, to live by faith and let him move you out of your comfort zone. Jenny said I should bring this. I have this golf ball that's painted to look like Earth. And that's important. Why? Because it's perspective. So if we're looking about you know, size in life, you know, our sun would be the size of that screen up there, and this is Earth. Okay, you all find yourself on there. And yet, God knows the hairs on your head. He says, not a feather from a sparrow drops to the ground without his notice.
Amen.
If he can know that, then he knows you and he knows your life and he knows the plans he has for you and how much he cares for every single soul on this little globe. People matter to God more than anything. And he uses people who know him to reach them. And so really that's the question this morning is, will you be one of those people?